I was thinking, driving up here, this very quickly, I was thinking, I don't know why, but you know, the three wise men who brought gifts to Jesus, one of those wise men was a Baptist. Did you know that? You know how we know? They brought gifts, three gifts. What did they bring? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. We know what gold is. We know what frankincense is. Nobody has any idea what myrrh is. But I did a serious word study in the Greek language, and the wise man who brought myrrh was a Baptist. You know what myrrh is? It's a ham and macaroni casserole. Okay, all right, I'm sorry. I travel around America preaching spiritual awakening conferences. I talk about, in these conferences, one of the greatest revivals that has ever come in all of church history. It happened on the island of Lewis, one of the Hebrides Islands. I'm finding out that not a lot of people know where the Hebrides are. They are off the west coast of Scotland. They are part of the nation of Scotland. This great revival happened in 1949 to 53. It was outstanding. It was supernatural. It was really, young people, out of this world. I found out through the years in studying the history of revival that it seems like every time God comes in great visitation on a certain place in revival, that he takes a scripture and just that scripture just rises to the top. It's almost like God wants to emphasize a certain truth at a certain time in a certain place. For instance, in the Great Reformation in the 1500s in Europe, the scripture that rose to the surface and became almost the motto of the Reformation was the scripture that says, "The just shall live by faith." Under the preaching of John Wesley and George Whitefield in England, by the way, that great revival, one secular historian said it saved the nation of England. But the scripture that rose to the surface under the preaching of Wesley and Whitefield was the scripture that says, "Ye must be born again." In fact, it's a matter of recorded history that George Whitefield preached on this text over 500 times. One time a man asked Whitefield, said, "Why do you preach on ye must be born again so much?" And Whitefield replied, "Because ye must be born again." In the Hebrides Islands, on the island of Lewis, there were two scriptures that rose to the surface and became the motto of that great revival. The first one was in Psalms 24. "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord." The other one is recorded in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. Where God made a promise, he said, "I will pour water upon him who's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground." The people of Lewis, they believed God was a covenant-keeping God and that if God promised something, he'd keep his word. And he said, "I will pour water on those who are thirsty." Now, I'm going to have to abbreviate this story radically tonight. I hope you'll stay with me and listen. The preacher in this great revival was the Scottish Highlander preacher named Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell died in 1972. He was born in 1898 in Oban, Scotland, on the mainland of Scotland. Grew up on a farm. As a teenager, he became quite popular in his area of Scotland, because he became very proficient playing the bagpipes And he was invited all over that area of Scotland to play the bagpipes at Scottish dances. Now, Scottish dances, there was always drinking involved. Always. When he was 15 years of age, he was invited to come to this certain area several miles away from his house and play at a Scottish dance. He walked, he took his bagpipes. Duncan Campbell was red-headed, and he became known in that area of Scotland as the Red Piper. He went to this dance, and he was playing the old Scottish tune, The Green Hills of Tyrol. And right in the middle of playing that song on the bagpipes, suddenly, unexpectedly, without any warning whatsoever, suddenly, Duncan Campbell fell under deep conviction of sin. When he finished playing the song, he went to the chairman of the dance, who happened to be a minister, and said, "I've got to leave." "Well, why do you have to leave?" He said, "Because I have just discovered that I'm lost and on my way to hell." The chairman of the dance, the minister, said, "Don't worry about it. You'll get over it." Duncan Campbell left the dance. He started walking down the country road. He said he had no idea on the way home that night how many times he fell in the middle of the road crying out to God. He didn't know what to do. He just knew he was lost. He got home at 2:30 in the morning. When he walked in the house, his mother, Jane Campbell, was on her knees in prayer beside the kitchen fire, and he told her what was on his heart. And she said, "Laddie, your cousins are asleep in the bedroom. While I go make you a bed someplace in the house, I would suggest that you go out to the barn and you tell God just what you told me." Duncan Campbell, 15 years of age, went out to the barn. He said he fell over into a pile of straw, and all the rest of his life, he remembered his prayer word for word. He said, "I just cried out and said, oh God, I know not how to come. I know not what to do, but God, I'm coming. Have mercy on me, a sinner." And Duncan Campbell said, "In that moment, I was born again." 3 years later, at the age of 18, Duncan Campbell went off to World War I with the Scottish Army. He was stationed in France. He ended up in the Scottish cavalry. He participated in the last major charge in France of the Scottish cavalry. They were charging across this flat field toward the German lines. Suddenly, Duncan Campbell's horse was hit, and he was hit. He found himself lying on his stomach on the battleground beside his dead horse. And he said as he looked out across the battlefield, he could see scores of his fellow soldiers lying on the battlefield dead, some up walking around wounded, some screaming, some crying. And he said, "I saw a few of them just up walking around giggling, having lost their mind." Duncan Campbell was bleeding profusely. He thought he was going to be dead in just a moment. And he said, "Suddenly the scripture came to my mind, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." Now, he said, it wasn't that I doubted my salvation. He said, I knew I was saved. But he said, somehow I just felt so unworthy to go out and meet God. And about that time, back here behind him, he heard a bugle sound. And here came the Canadian cavalry charging across the same battlefield. As they came right by, charging by where Duncan Campbell was lying on the battlefield, one of the Canadian horse's hooves struck Duncan Campbell in the spine, and he groaned loudly. When that charge was over, that Canadian cavalryman remembered that groan. He came right back to where Duncan Campbell was bleeding, badly, badly wounded, jumped off his horse, picked Duncan Campbell up, threw him over behind his saddle, jumped on, and took off at full gallop toward a Canadian first aid station. And it was on that horse's back that the miracle occurred. Duncan Campbell prayed a prayer, that he'd heard his father pray. It was a very simple little prayer. But he prayed, badly wounded, thinking he was dying any moment. Duncan Campbell prayed and said, "Oh God, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be." The cassette tape I have, Duncan Campbell telling about this experience, he said, and only the way a Scotsman could say it, he said, "God did it! God did it!" Duncan Campbell said, "Suddenly I felt as pure as an angel." He thought God was getting him ready to die. Little did he know that God was getting him ready to live. He called this experience on the horse's back by several different names the rest of his life. He called it sometime being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he called it complete salvation. But his favorite term was, he said, "I was baptized with the Holy Ghost." Now, Baptists have a hard time with that phrase. Most Baptists screw up their faces and say, like the deacon who asked me one time, said, "Brad, are you charismatic?" Let me tell you what, my friends, as I travel across America preaching spiritual awakening conferences, my opinion is that the greatest need of churches in America today is for saved people in churches to be filled with the blessed Spirit of God. That's the greatest need. We Baptists don't know much about that. Old Dr. Vance Havner, the Baptist evangelist, he used to say about the filling of the Holy Spirit, he'd say, well, where Baptists are concerned, he said, Baptists are so afraid they'll get caught out on a limb, they won't even get up the tree. Duncan Campbell was filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you what that'll do for you. They finally got him to the Canadian first aid station. Now you need to understand, at this point in his life, 19 years of age, Duncan Campbell did not speak English. He spoke only his native Gaelic. Gaelic is the native language of the Western Highlands of Scotland and the Hebrides Islands. They took him off the horse, put him on a cot in this Canadian first aid station. And he said, all I could do, he said, I was so weak from the loss of blood, all I could do, he said, I lifted my hands to heaven and I kept quoting one verse of a psalm over and over and over again in the Gaelic language. Here's the verse he kept quoting. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Kept saying that and saying that. You want to know what the Holy Spirit can do in revival? There was not a Canadian in that field hospital that spoke a word of Gaelic, and within 1 hour, 7 Canadians had been saved. They shipped Duncan Campbell back to Scotland. He was in the hospital in Perth, Scotland for 11 months. Finally got back home. Spent 5 years just going around the countryside telling the story of Jesus. Great revival. Great revival. And finally, at the age of 25, he wanted to get married. And he said, how can I get married? I have no income whatsoever. I can't support a family. And he decided to officially become a minister. Officially become a pastor. And it ruined his life. He was a pastor for 25 years. 3 different churches. And the thing that ruined his life was, by his own testimony, he lost the fullness of the Spirit of God. Oh, he was a success as a pastor. He studied, he prayed, he loved his people, he took care of them in every way. But he said, in here, I knew the difference. I was not filled with the Spirit of God. Didn't know that deep fullness. 1948, he was pastor in Falkirk, Scotland. wrestling inside of himself, miserable inside of himself, because he knew where he had been and he knew where he was now. At 5:30 in the morning, he was upstairs in his study in the parsonage. He was to preach the next day at a convention in Edinburgh, Scotland. And he was studying on his sermon, 5:30 in the morning, and he heard singing coming from down in the parlor. It was his little 16-year-old daughter, Sheena. 5:30 in the morning, she was singing. Sheena was already a mission volunteer. She had already committed her life to go out to the nation of Nepal as a foreign missionary. And here she was singing. Duncan Campbell said, I turned from my studies and just sat there for a moment. And he said, finally, I walked down the stairs, went into the parlor, took a seat. And he said, I sat there and listened as Sheena was singing. Coming, coming, yes they are. Coming, coming from afar, from the Indies and the Ganges, steady flows that living stream to love's ocean, Calvary, their wandering theme. When she finished singing, Duncan Campbell said, Sheena, you seem so happy this morning. Why are you so happy? 5:30 in the morning, she said, oh, Daddy, I've just spent an hour in the presence of Jesus Christ. Isn't he wonderful? And then Sheena did something. She went over and sat down on her daddy's lap, put both of her arms around his neck and said, Daddy, I've been meaning on asking you a question. Why is it not with you now as it once was? Oh, oh. She said, Daddy, you used to see revival. Why don't you see revival anymore? And it broke his heart. He went on to preach at this convention. He said, I'd rather have been anywhere on God's earth than there preaching. He started back home driving in the car and he said, I prayed in the car and I said, oh God, if you cannot bring me back to where I used to be, if you cannot restore the years that the locusts have eaten, I'm going to resign the church, quit preaching, and just go into business. He got home. He told his wife, whose name was Shona, and his daughter Sheena. He said, I'm going up to my study, and I will not be out to eat or to drink until I'm right with God. He went up to his study. I wish I could tell you all that went on that night in that room, but time doesn't permit it. Let me just simply say this, at about 2:30 in the morning, the glory came. The glory came. He said it was just like that experience on horses back in France in World War I as a 19-year-old boy. And God filled him with the Holy Spirit. He ended up, he resigned his church, went back into just going out and preaching about Jesus. He went over to the island of Skye, one of the Hebrides Islands. But all the time God was here working with this preacher, Duncan Campbell, God was up on the island of Lewis, and he was working on some people up there. And I want you to know that when Duncan Campbell walked out of the parsonage in Falkirk, Scotland, I want you to know that all heaven is about to break loose. It's glory time. Let me tell you what was going on the island of Lewis. Lewis is the northernmost of the Hebrides Islands. There are about 500 of these islands. Less than 100 of them are inhabited. Lewis is the northernmost island, and it's the largest of the Hebrides Islands. There are two denominations on Lewis. The Church of Scotland and the Free Church of Scotland. Now, if the Church of Scotland over here in America, we call it the Presbyterian Church. So the two denominations. The largest town on the island of Lewis is the town of Stornoway. Outside of Stornoway, there are spotted villages, small villages around the island. In October 2001, Nancy and I went to the island of Lewis. I was doing research to write a book. And it is it's astounding. There are no trees. Now, there's some trees in Stornoway. But once you get out of Stornoway, just out here, not a tree in sight. Nothing. It's peat bogs and heather. That's all there is. 12 miles outside of Stornoway is the village of Barvas. This is where the great revival came. This is where the fire of God fell first. Here's how it happened. The presbytery, that would be kind of like a gathering of the pastors and maybe the elders of the church. They had a meeting, a presbytery meeting, on the north end of the island in the village of Ness. At this meeting, they drew up a declaration deploring the low state of religion in the churches on the island of Lewis. In this declaration, especially, they said, deploring the low state of religion among the young people of Lewis. There were several of the churches of Scotland, where there was not one single young person ever came to church. Not one young person. They voted at this meeting that this declaration was to be read the next Sunday morning in every pulpit on the island of Lewis. The pastor of the church in Barvas was named James Murray Mackay. He stood in the pulpit the next Sunday morning at Barvas and he read this declaration. The next day on Monday, he went down south of the church a little ways to a humble little cottage where two old maid sisters lived. I wish I had known them. These two old maid sisters, Peggy Smith was 84 years of age, totally blind. Her sister, Christine Smith, was 82 and almost doubled over with arthritis. They were members of the church, but they were unable to go to church because of their health. So Mr. Mackay, and over there on the islands, they don't call their preachers brother or doctor or reverend. They call it Mr. That's how they address them. Mr. Mackay, the pastor, on Monday, he went down to the cottage of Peggy and Christine Smith to read the declaration to them. And he did so. About 2 days after this, on a Wednesday, Peggy Smith, the blind sister, called for her pastor, Mr. Mackay, to come back to the house. He went, and she said, "Mr. Mackay, I've been in prayer, and God gave me a vision." She said, "In this vision, I saw the church of my fathers, the Barvas Church. I saw the church of my fathers crowded to capacity with people, especially young people." Mr. Mackay said, "Well, Peggy, what do you suggest we do?" And she said, "I suggest that we pray. You get a group of men from the church, leaders of the church, and you men go up in the north part of the parish and find a place to pray. And Christine and I will pray here in our cottage. Let's covenant together that we will pray every Tuesday and Friday night. We'll start praying at 10 o'clock at night, and we will pray until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday and Friday night." Mr. Mackay got 6 men in the church. I've searched and searched. I've only been able to find 3 of the names of those men. One was John Smith, the local blacksmith. There was Roderick McLeod and Kenneth MacDonald. So these 6 men and the pastor, they went up north of the church and across the road from the church. I saw it when I was over there, a little small barn. And they got permission to use this barn to have a prayer meeting. So they set in praying, these 7 men in the little barn, Peggy and Christine Smith in their cottage. And they started praying every Tuesday and Friday night, 10 o'clock at night till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They prayed night after night and week after week. They prayed. Their weeks turned into months. And after about 4 months of praying, one night in that little barn at 1:30 in the morning, the glory of God came. Kenneth MacDonald, he was a deacon in the Barbist Church. He stood to pray in that barn. And I want you to listen to his prayer. He said, God, you have said in your word, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. And he went ahead to pray. He said, God, now I don't know about these other men, but God, it seems like so much humbug to me for us to be gathered here night after night after night praying if we don't have clean hands and pure hearts. And at that point, Kenneth MacDonald lifted both of his hands to heaven and he said, oh God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And when he asked those two questions, suddenly Kenneth MacDonald fell forward and went into a trance, and the glory of God came. Now, if any of you here tonight have a problem with him falling into a trance, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Bible. Acts chapter 10, when Peter received a vision to go up and preach to the house of Cornelius, the Bible says that Peter fell into a trance. On the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus was going to arrest Christians, and suddenly Jesus appeared in all of his glory, and the Bible says that Saul fell. On the Isle of Patmos, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a voice behind me. I turned to see who it was speaking to me. And I saw one likened to the Son of Man. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. Let me tell you something. If we ever get as close to God as we ought to be, we'll be falling. We won't be strutting around like peacocks. Kenneth MacDonald went into a trance and the fire of God came. The next morning, Mr. Mackay, the pastor, ran down to Peggy and Christine's little cottage to tell them what happened. Peggy said, the fire came here in the cottage at the same time. Mr. Mackay that day had to go to the mainland to a meeting. He was gone about 3 days. When he came back, he had a message. Peggy Smith, the old blind sister, come down to the house. He went down to the house and she said, I've been in prayer and God gave me a message to tell you. God told me to tell you to invite some preacher named Duncan Campbell to come here and preach a meeting. And she said, I don't know who Duncan Campbell is. I've never heard his name until God told me. But she said, God told me that Duncan Campbell would be here within a fortnight. That's 2 weeks. Mr. Mackay found out Duncan Campbell's down on the island of Skye preaching. He calls down there, and Duncan Campbell says, there's no way I can come. I'm too busy. Perhaps I can come next year, but I cannot come now. So Mr. Mackay goes back down. Now, I want you to hear what Peggy Smith, that old, said. Yeah, I just love old people. They're just so blunt. They're blunt as two befores. Mr. Mackay goes down to the cottage and he says, Peggy, I got in touch with this Duncan Campbell and he said it's impossible for him to come. Peggy Smith said, that's what man says. God told me he'd be here in a fortnight. 3 days later, Duncan Campbell called Mr. Mackay. A series of circumstances. He said he had to cancel the convention he was planning. He said, I will be able to come. I'm on my way. He rode the ferry from the island of Skye up to the island of Lewis. When he got to the town of Stornoway, the ferry docked. The pastor, Mr. Mackay, and one of the church elders was there to meet him. They said when Duncan Campbell got off the ferry, he looked like the wrath of goodness. He had on a great big old overcoat that was several sizes too large for him. Had on big old galoshes boots that were way too big for him. He came tromping off the ferry like this. He got in the car and they started back out the 12 miles to the village of Barvas. Now I cannot this is kind of personal, but I need to tell you this. In October 2001, when Nancy and I were on the island of Lewis, of all things we wanted to do, we wanted to go to the church at Barvas, attend church there. Well, over there, their midweek service is not on Wednesday night like churches in America. It's on Thursday night on the islands. So we were staying at a hotel in the town of Stornoway, and I had a rented car. And so we got dressed up, and we left. We found out services was on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and we drove out to Barvas. And I always like to say this. Now, you would have been proud of me. I'm proud of myself. While I was there, I drove the rental car between 800 and 900 miles, sitting on the wrong side of the car, driving on the wrong side of the road, and I didn't hit anybody. Aren't you proud of me? Okay. We started out, we got out to the church at 20 minutes till 7. We went in, and I tell everyone we were, Max, we were good Baptists. We went in and sat down on the back pew. I found out later who the man was. He was one of the church elders. At 5 minutes till 7, this elder came up to the end of the pew where I was sitting and leaned over and said, "Pardon me, but are you a minister?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "We don't have a minister tonight. Would you preach?" And young people, literally, I thought I was going to faint. Drop dead right in the floor. Just to think that God is so gracious that He allowed me to preach in the Barvas Church. What a blessing. So they're going out, Mr. Mackay and Duncan Campbell and the church elder, they're driving out to the village of Barvas. Now you need to understand Barvas. It's a village. When we were there in 2001, the business district of Barvas, there is one convenience store service station. It's like one 7-Eleven. That's it. There's nothing else in Barvas, by the way, in the way of businesses. Here's the Church of Scotland, up sitting right there north of the store and service station. Probably holds 300, 350 people. Mr. Mackay told Duncan Campbell, driving out there, he said, "Now, we'll have a relatively short service tonight. We know you're tired from the journey. We will do some singing, have some prayers, and you speak a little bit, but it'll be a short service." And you need to understand something else. On the islands, the Hebrides Islands, something about the music. There are no musical instruments of any kind in the church. They do not sing any hymns. They do not sing any gospel songs. The only thing they sing in church are the Psalms. That's all. Just the Psalms. They don't have a minister of music, worship leader, music director. They have a man. His title is, he is the presenter. He stands. He presents the psalm they're going to sing. He gets it started, and as soon as the people chime in singing it, then he sits down. They gather that night. There are about 300 people. Pretty well filled building. Duncan Campbell said they sang psalms. They had prayers. He preached, but he said it was a very ordinary service. Nothing out of the ordinary at all. He finally pronounced the benediction, and he said, as he pronounced the benediction, the people walked out, and he could see, he was standing in the pulpit. In the Scottish churches, The pulpit is way up high, and there's a semicircular staircase on each side. But it's way up high in the building. And he's looking right out the door. And he said, the people file out, and they're standing out there in the churchyard. They're not going home. And he said, they're not standing out there visiting. He said, they're standing there in a tense silence, as if they're waiting for something. Duncan Campbell left the pulpit. He walked down the staircase over here, and he got in this aisle, and he was going to walk out and join the people out in the front yard. And he got right down here in the aisle, and this deacon, Kenneth MacDonald, who had prayed in the barn and fallen into a trance, Kenneth MacDonald came up to Duncan Campbell in the aisle right down here, and he said, Mr. Campbell, God is hovering over us, and he's just about to break through. Oh, glory. Glory, glory. And when Kenneth MacDonald said that, suddenly he dropped to his knees in the aisle and began to pray. And he'd been praying just a moment, Duncan Campbell said, when Kenneth MacDonald fell over in the aisle and went into another trance. The moment he fell, a church elder came running in the door of the church and said, Mr. Campbell, come out here and see. Duncan Campbell went out on the front porch of the church, and this crowd of 300 people that had been in the church service, now there are well over 600 people standing out here in the churchyard. Where'd they come from? Well, one place, the Holy Spirit of God had fallen on the houses of Barvas, and people had left their houses and streaming toward the church. There was a big dance. You remember what I said about Scottish dances? Drinking whiskey, the Scottish whiskey. There's a big dance in the village that night. And suddenly, right in the middle of the dancing and the drinking, the Holy Spirit of God had fallen on the dance. They dismissed the dance, and now they've all come to the church, and they're all standing out here. The church elder said, Mr. Campbell, what are we going to do? Duncan Campbell said, I would suggest that we sing Psalm 126. And they all started singing it. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men who dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongues with melody. When they finished singing the other three verses of that psalm, suddenly the people just began to flood back into the church house. Only about half of them could get in. Duncan Campbell said he tried to make his way back up to the pulpit to preach. He said every available seat was filled. The windowsills were filled with people sitting in them. The aisles were filled, not with people sitting in the aisles, but the aisles were filled with people lying where they had fallen, weeping and crying out to God. Duncan Campbell stepped over bodies all the way up the aisle. He got here to the staircase coming up to the pulpit, and he said there was a young school teacher who was lying on the staircase, weeping her heart out, saying, Oh God, is there any hope? Is there any mercy for a sinner like me? You might be interested to know that there was. She was saved and spent the rest of her life as a missionary in Thailand. Duncan Campbell stepped over her, got back up into the pulpit, and started preaching. Just preached a moment. Quit. He said, nobody could hear what I was saying, because everyone was weeping their hearts out before God. And finally, in the way only old Duncan Campbell could put it, he said, I just stepped aside, and he said, I just stood there and watched God work. At 2:30 in the morning, Duncan Campbell said, I decided to go home. He was staying in the parsonage over here across the street. And at 2:30 in the morning, he and Mr. Mackay, the pastor, they went home. They left the church filled with people weeping and crying out to God. When I first heard that and read that, I thought, my soul, Baptist pastor would be fired the next morning. You know what a Baptist pastor is? He has to stay till the last cat's killed. Preacher's supposed to stay and turn off the lights and lock the door, stay and counsel individually with everyone. They asked Duncan Campbell, said, you didn't stay and counsel with them? He said, no. Did that bother you? He said, no. Listen to what Duncan Campbell said. He said, they may not find God tonight. And they may not find Him tomorrow or next week or next month. But he said, I'll promise you this. If they're searching for Him with all of their heart, they're going to find Him. So he starts home. He gets in the middle of the road out here, and a young man comes running up to him and said, Mr. Campbell, you've got to come and help. Please come and help. Down here south of the church at the police station, there's a large crowd of people out in the highway in front of the police station weeping and crying out to God. You've got to come and help them. So he takes off down the road to the police station. He gets down there. There are well over 300 people there. I always wondered when I was researching this, studying it, where did these people come from? Well, this was all of the crowd that was in the churchyard that couldn't get back in the church house. And they've gone down to the police station. Why? Never did make any sense to me. I'd read about it, heard about it, run into it here and there. I didn't understand why they would leave the churchyard and go to the police station until I went to the village of Barbas. They weren't standing out in front of the police station. For right next door to the police station was the little humble cottage of Peggy and Christine Smith, those two old women. Those people went to the seat of divine power. And then the revival began to explode all over the island of Lewis. First it went north to the village of Ness. Then it turned around and it came back down and went here. And I have to close in about 3 minutes. I could talk to you all night long about this. I want to tell you one of my favorite stories that came out of this revival. I was aware of it before Nancy and I went to Lewis. And I just hoped and prayed that perhaps, maybe, that building was still standing. And got there and it was. 4 miles south of the village of Barvis is the village of Arnol, A-R-N-O-L. The revival had not come to Arnol. Maybe one of the great reasons, the pastor of the church, it was a free church of Scotland in Arnol, he was bitterly opposed to the revival, fought it tooth and toenail. And so the people kind of were like that. Duncan Campbell really had it on his heart. And he found this little building, they called it a meeting building, little building today. It's a little workshop building. They got permission to have a prayer meeting in this little building one night. He took some men from the church at Barvis and they went down to Arnol to pray that God might visit the village of Arnol. They started praying in this little building. And Duncan Campbell, in his own words, he said it was... they prayed for several hours. It was wooden prayers, ordinary prayers, nothing happening. And he said, about 1:30 in the morning, he said, I looked over here, and there sat John Smith, the blacksmith from Barbas. He was in that original prayer meeting in that little barn. And he said, I looked over and I said, John, would you pray? And this old blacksmith, John Smith, stood to pray. I'm going to tell you what he prayed and ask you, would you ever dare to pray like this? John Smith stood to pray, and here was his prayer. He said, God, did you know your honor is at stake? He said, God, you promised in your word that you would pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. And he said, God, I'm thirsty. And he said, God, if you don't do what you promised to do, how can I ever believe you again? And then he asked it again. He said, God, did you know your honor is at stake? And Duncan Campbell said when John Smith asked that the second time of the Lord, suddenly, he said, that little workshop building began to violently shake like this. Just shake and shake and shake. Some of the men thought it was an earthquake. But he said it kept shaking and shaking. And in just a few minutes, it began to calm down. And old Duncan Campbell, that Scottish priest, he said, I love the way he put things. He said, I immediately dismissed the prayer meeting because I knew God had taken the field. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They walk out of this little workshop building, and he said, we stand there 2 o'clock in the morning, and we watch as lights begin to come on in the house.